Good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to the Sunday edition of the Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, I think, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio. We are a viewer-supported radio, guys, so please hit the donate button. And if you like what we're doing at PIR and the different opinions and different guests we get in this network, please support the network because they could sure use the help. I've got Ron Stevens with me today, a gentleman I always enjoy having conversations with. But before I get in with Ron here, it's a couple things I'd like to say at the start of the show here. I don't usually put out warnings to people, but I would suggest that everybody, if you get a chance, go and look at the Dutch Census forecast for earthquakes in the next 7 days. It'll be published tonight. We are in an incredible time right now with earthquake activity on the planet. I don't know if people are following it or not, but they're calling for some very, very large earthquakes to strike very high populated areas, possibility in the next 6 or 7 days. So him running on about 78% accuracy on his predictions, I would suggest you tune in, listen to what he has to say, and if he's talking about an area close to you, maybe take heed to the warning. Also, people on the east coast of the United States right now are about to experience four hurricanes lining up one after another. And I was looking at reports from the National Hurricane Organizations, few of the organizations in the start. And we're looking at a very, very nasty hurricane season, very, very weird anomalies happening right now in the Atlantic Ocean with currents and temperatures. And got to go look at that, guys, because that's directly going to affect a lot of people. So anyways, all that being said, I don't normally start a show with it like that, but I have been following Dutch Sense now for a couple of years. And I do respect what the gentleman has to say. He's really kind of got it down to a fine art, and he's kind of screaming right now. So go pay attention, guys. Anyways, Ron, great to have you in. Always look forward to talking with you. I know there's a lot of crap happening in Canada right now that we both want to talk about. Welcome to the show, buddy. And I know you've already done one show today, so if your voice goes crackly, we'll excuse it. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Glad to be here, Barry. Every time I do your show, I always get a longing to be back in BC. We miss that place, but people tell me it's getting messed up.
It is, just like the rest of Canada. Mm-hmm. We're having more problems this year, Ron, with the fires than we've seen in years. It seems like every year we're exceeding the year before for forest fires. And last year was one of the biggest years in BC history, and this year we're going to exceed it. Definitely something going on in our forest, and that's a conversation we could get into for a few minutes about what they're spraying in our atmosphere and how that's affecting our forest. And I think the correlation between the two is very, very real. I also believe that a lot of these earthquakes are being deliberately set in British Columbia to devastate our economy. What a great way to devastate a province's economy when we're spending, I think it is now, four times the projected budget for firefighting this year in British Columbia. And we're a long ways from being out of the woods yet. So some pretty weird stuff going on in the forest, buddy.
Well, the game is to destroy what's left of our economy, and there's not much left of it. You know, they gutted it out in the 70s after the Saudi oil crisis lifted the tariffs on the import cars, which opened us to global or free trade, which was a plan to gut out our industry, which they have done. Our manufacturing, anyways, we don't manufacture squat here anymore. And if they can hammer out the logging industry and everything out BC, it's just all part and parcel of the game. You know, and I know that these fires aren't natural. The burn rate is not natural. It's a sad thing to watch, you know, to watch a country
burn.
Well, to be destroyed. I mean, you know, it was Morris Strong who basically wrote, him and Rockefeller wrote, you know, Our Common Future, which is sustainable development, which was implemented here in 1992 through Mulroney on the right, to implement their agenda. And the municipal planner, which went to every municipality in the country, the global to local game, where they keep giving you that nice fuzzy sustainable development phrase, and people wander around, well, we have to be sustainable, you know, but it's really the Agenda 21, and it says it's Agenda 21, and there's a foreword from Morris Strong, yeah. And and what did Morris Strong say? Isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized nations collapse? Isn't it our job to help bring that about. Well, all you got to do is look around you, folks, and they're doing a really good job of trashing us.
Boy, are they ever run. Just take a look at the Canadian economy right now. And I was reading stats for Ontario and Canada in general just for the month of August. 51,000 jobs were lost in the country. And I just read a report from Ontario, and apparently 80,000 jobs were lost in Ontario last month.
That's what I read this morning.
And yeah, I'm trying to vet it. I'm trying to get down to the bottom and make sure it's right. I only got to read the article.
I found it kind of odd that 50-some thousand jobs were lost in Canada, and then I went to get a coffee this morning before my show, and I hear 80,000 jobs are missing in Ontario. These guys aren't real good at math. They must be using the Common Core math.
Or they're hiding something.
Well, they are, right?
Of course, we know
and,
that.
And the fact of the matter is, well, you know, they're telling us here in rural Ontario that we need to bring migrants into rural Ontario to help fill the jobs. Well, people are scratching their head going, what jobs are they talking about, right? So the federal is going to put money into the local communities, and that's why I want to be the mayor so I can stop that, fund the local communities to bring in migrants. Well, you know, we already have people that are homeless and people that can't feed themselves or keep a roof over their head, yet the federal government wants the municipalities to bring in migrants to fill jobs that don't exist and pay for their housing and their health care and everything else while our own people are struggling like hell. Mm.
We see this right across the country, Ron. It's absolutely out of control what's going on with the immigration right now in Canada and how the government is raising these people on a pedestal far above normal Canadians that have been here all their lives and paid taxes in this country all their lives. What's going on is really starting to infuriate Canadians. The good thing about it, Ron, is that people are really starting to pay attention to this.
That's the upside,
because this was one of the conversations I had yesterday. I was telling you about my T-shirt and just the unbelievable response I got from the community simply by wearing a Trudeau for Prison T-shirt down to the farmer's market. And I engaged with so many people yesterday, and I heard the same thing from every one of them, that they're absolutely infuriated with what they see going on in our country. But I get the same pushback all the time. What can I do? I'm just one person. I hear this a lot, Ron.
I've been hearing it for decades.
Yeah, but it opens up an opportunity to really explain to people how much power they have. People don't understand the power they possess. They just have to have the knowledge passed on to them how to use that power. Well, go ahead.
One of the things I tell people is that, you know, because they say, what can I do? Well, doing anything would be a plus. But I tell them, I said, you know, we're all going to pass, okay? And we have a duty while we're here to do the best we can to make sure that those come after us have a future. And I do get a lot of people say, you know, they say, and it really blew me away the first time I hear it, but I've heard a lot. You mean we're supposed to do something? Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to do something, right? And that seems to kind of shake them loose a little bit. So as I also said many years ago, I said there's going to come a point where they're going to try and pull the final plug. And that is going to, like, they're going to come at us hard from everywhere. And that, because they always did it so incrementally and so slowly, right? People didn't even notice what was going on. And now they're coming in for the kill. And everybody in every sector of this country is being negatively affected. And you can't just look away. And so we can actually thank the globalists for waking our people up in an odd sort of way, because they're coming at us hard now. And our lieutenant governor here in Ontario, Elizabeth Dowdswell, who was the head of UNEP, United Nations Environmental Program, mentored by Maurice Strong, can you believe that she's our lieutenant governor? But there is a video out there on YouTube where she was saying she was just sick and tired of this incrementalism, and let's just have some actions and get it done. Mm-hmm. And she said, then she thought about it, and she said, well, maybe incrementalism is still the way to do it. But no, they're coming at us hard now. So people are waking up. And I love your idea of the T-shirt, because you could have went down to the farmer's market there and nobody's really going to engage with you. And then you walk in with the shirt, and all of a sudden the eyeballs pop on your shirt and go, hey, you know,
that's funny, beautiful, what you're doing. It was inspiring, buddy, that, you know what, I really kind of got a real feel for what my community feels about what's going on in the country yesterday by the response I got from this T-shirt.
Right.
And everybody were saying the exact same thing to me, Ron, is like, we are beyond infuriated. Yeah. We're watching now what's going on, and what can we do?
And that takes me back to that thing, which I've said for so many years, and some people get it and some people didn't get it. More people are getting it now, but that's exactly what your t-shirt inspired. And there's the idea that anger is a gift. And I don't mean violence. I mean just a motivator. Anger. If you can't get angry with what's going on, you can't get motivated to do anything. And your t-shirt hit the anger button. Right? And that got people engaged.
It did. Yeah. You know, I was telling you this earlier, Ron. It's like I got a feeling from people that they really want to talk, but they just almost scared to talk.
Yeah.
A lot of people express that to me. It's like, wow, man, you know, I'm not alone. I think people all of a sudden felt that, you know, maybe I was the first person in the community to get out there and make a statement about what I see going on in my government. Mm-hmm. But the response I got from the community was overwhelming. It was very, very inspiring. And I know that I'm getting more made up this week. I'm getting four of them made up. And I'm going to list the 10 most damning facts that I can list about Justin Trudeau. And I've made about 7 on the list so far. Yeah. I could put 50 on the list, but I'm going to put the most 10 damning out there. Everybody should be doing this, Ron, because it stimulates conversation. Wherever you are, whoever you're standing against, put it on a t-shirt and walk around and let people read it, because you'll stimulate conversations. And people are yearning for conversation right now. They know that things are really bad. They know that something has to be done, but they don't know the direction to go in. And just having a conversation, it's unbelievable, Ron, how that can affect people. So there's something that everybody can do, man. I am going to get 4 more of these made up so that I can wear one every day of the week.
I'm going to send you a link after that that will put you in a position to probably sell 10,000 t-shirts with no effort on your part. You know, we need more than 4. You know, if you're getting that kind of reaction from the t-shirt and there's no cost to you to do it, you just get your cut on it and they deliver them and they produce them. I'd like to see that particular t-shirt or the one you're working on. I'd like to see people from, you know, Newfoundland to Nanaimo wearing these things across the country. Right.
That's just something I did, and it had an effect. And anybody that's listening to this show, no matter where you are in the world, in Ireland, Scotland, England, France, it doesn't matter. America, it doesn't matter where you are. You can do the same thing.
And you know how positive. You want to stimulate
what it does. I'm sorry for interrupting you, Ron, but
no,
it's really important. It's really important that we stimulate conversation in our society right now, because the art of conversation, our abilities to communicate with ourselves, have been really taken away from society through cyberspace, through everything. We could talk about that for an hour. We don't have time to get in why it's happened, but it is a reality in our society now, is that people don't converse. You don't see people openly conversing. And that is what's been taken away. It's a very effective tool against society, but we got to come to a point that we say, hey, listen, I don't care what you say or what you do. I am going to express my opinion. I'm going to speak loud and I'm going to be heard. I see a lot of people getting to that point now, Ron. I see more and more people jumping up.
That's the anger factor. They've.
It's got to be channeled properly, though. That's what I'm. It has to be channeled properly.
Well, right. But
it could be a bad thing. Go ahead.
The huge difference between your T-shirt and a protest sign is huge. Okay, people don't pay attention. When they see protesters, they look at them. Well, what's their problem, right? Even if they agree with them, they're not going near it. Because people are afraid to get, linked to something or be seen to be on side with a protest, regardless of how legitimate it is. But your t-shirt is a different, I mean, it's the same animal, but it's presented in a different fashion. It's single people, not a bunch of people going rah, 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 you know, we're pissed off kind of thing. It's just single people quietly saying, enough is enough, right? Exactly. And they're walking around with a billboard on them, and other people who read your billboard on your shirt going, you know what? I feel the same way. Well, by the way, where the hell can I get one of those?
Yeah,
right. Exactly. That's a whole different. You're not going to go around. Where can I get a protest sign? Right. You know. So I see this as a super positive move. Beautiful.
Well, like I said, Ron, it's something that everybody can apply, because we do really need to start communicating with each other, and it's something that I could talk about. My thought process goes into that for hours, and I could talk about it for hours, how our society has had communication taken away from it and all the different things that have affected our ability to really get down and have serious conversations with each other. But this stimulated conversation on a common ground, because no matter if you're what religion or what you're involved in Canada right now, if you don't see what's going on, then you really, really do truly have your head in the sand, because it's so in our face right now. It's undeniable. So,
you know, you also have to, you know, appreciate the fact that, you know, most people are, you know, they get up in the morning, they turn on the TV or the radio, they hear the noise of propaganda, and they may not even pay. I mean, it's osmosis. It goes into through osmosis most of the time. Mm-hmm. And they get in their car and turn on a radio, go to work, the radio's on or whatever, read a newspaper, come home, you know, they got a problem with a kid at school or something today, or they got some other problems going on, or they don't know how to pay the rent or their mortgage. And, they get something to eat. They sit down and watch the TV and then they go to bed. These people, really don't have any knowledge because they're so disconnected. And the way the system is set up is to keep them disconnected. Mm-hmm. So when they see your T-shirt and, you know, they see their taxes going up and they see immigrants flooding across the border and they don't know who to talk to and they don't really want to, they want to talk, but they're fearful to speak. So I can see them at like at the farmer's market you were at going, yeah.
Right? Well, plus you're in a farmer's market, Ron, it's a lot of grassroots people, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I connected with a lot of people yesterday, gave my phone number and gave my Facebook links and my Big Puzzle links to all kinds of people that wanted to start talking and communicating. So it's great. I was telling you last Sunday night, I went over and had dinner with six people I'd never met before in my life. Unbelievable, Ron. They're rallying now because I've gone to the city council now twice on our stand against fluoride. But this is one of the biggest peeves that this group has with our community right now is that we're still fluoridating our water. Our council will not listen to the community. I've refused us a new referendum, but the six of them now are going to approach the council at one time and demand a referendum, demand a referendum.
Right.
We had 870 signatures on a request for a new referendum the last time I rallied this program in Terrace. And the city council came back and said, you got to have 1,000 signatures before we will even allow you a new
look at it.
Yeah. So, and we're going, what about us 870 people that hired you to listen to our interests and our concerns?
This is the problem, Barry. Okay, you got
850
signatures. If 15 of those people ran for local council and 5 or 6 of them got elected, you don't have to go to council. You don't have to get petitions because you got the majority vote.
Absolutely. And that's what we talked about.
We vote.
We talked about involvement.
So
about involvement in the community.
Yeah, people got to get inside the castle. You don't go begging with petitions and that. Get it done. That's the only reason I'm running for mayor. I don't like politics. I understand it. You know, there's an old saying, you know, you're either going to affect politics or it's going to affect you. So, you know, and I am also, I just wrote a thing there before we came on air. Somebody had written something about something I put in Facebook. And you know, I said, you know, don't worry about the federal level. Don't worry about the provincial level because you're never going to get control of it. Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how many parties you start, you ain't getting control of that. So don't waste your time. Where is the power? The power is where the people are. Does anybody live at the federal level? No. Does anybody live at the provincial level? No. Where does everybody live? At the local level. So as we take control of these local councils, then we have power. Then we have the power to stand up and tell the province no. Then we have the power to stand up and tell the federal government no. The power is right in front of our faces, and it is so easy to access because it costs nothing basically to run for council. Here it's $100 to run for a councilor and $200 to run for a mayor. I mean, it's so incredibly easy to grasp the power, but people always looking at the federal and the provincial as the power. They're not the power. We're the power.
The only thing that stops me from getting involved.
We have the ability to tell the province, but not as a single municipality, because the municipalities are all creations of the province, which means it's the children and the province is the authority over the child. But once we get control of probably, I'm thinking, 20 councils, and there's just a horde of them in this country, I think there's 400 of them or something in Ontario, we get a hold of 20 that stand up and say no. They can't spin that off as some radical council somewhere, right?
That's a voice with teeth.
Right. It's the voice of a multiple municipalities standing shoulder to shoulder together saying no.
No.
And that is such a powerful word. And it's so easy to get the power because, like, I mean, if you got 800 and some people that want the fluoride out, then surely to God we can get 15 or 20 to run for council.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and if you're all spilling the same message, your message overpowers their message, which means you're going to get your people in there and you only need four or five of them in most cases to take control of council. But the people have to understand the council is just the window dressing. Okay. The real, the agenda is set by the CAOs and the administration and the clerks.
Right.
Okay. And the planners. The planners are very important. Your county planners, because they do the deal with the property, mm-hmm. and they're pushing the Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not elected, right? So they make the agenda, they bring it down to the council, and most of the council don't have a clue what's going on, and then they get them to vote on it. Now, the reason I'm running for mayor is because the mayor is the only one that's got straight access to the CAO and the police, right? But the mayor has no power. We got one vote, right? You got no power. But you need to get the majority vote. Once you've got that, it's over. Because now when the administration and the CAO brings something nefarious sold to the public as sustainable development, and you know as UN Agenda 21 or 2030, that council has the power to say no and turn it down. It's so easy, but it's so difficult because people think, well, there's no power at the local level. It's at the federal and the provincial level. Wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
We got to educate the public about this and how we can actually make this work.
If I get in as mayor, my job for the next 4 years is going to be very difficult, but it's about educating. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will listen to you better if you're in a position of power already. I don't want to be the mayor. The thought of sitting there for 4 years with these jackass. I mean, these people know what they're up to. I mean, they were trying to patronize me at one time. I mean, I had the police chief every time I went to the council meetings, follow me around with an open holstered gun. Right. I mean, it was ridiculous. But then they tried to intimidate the shit out of me, and you can't intimidate me. So they tried to patronize me, and I went into the council, office one day or the town hall, and, all the staff came out, all the ladies came out to greet me. Then they go, oh, hi, Ron. How are you today? And I said, I'm fine, ladies. And how are Satan's little helpers? And they just, we wish you wouldn't say that. Well, you got to call it as you see it, ladies.
Right? You got to call a spade, man. It's time to take off the gloves.
Call it as it is, right? But there's a lot of the staff in there would love me to be the mayor. There's a lot of police that would love me to be the mayor. But the CAO.
Well, Ron, I'm praying that you get in there, buddy. I really do. I got a good feeling about it. And if I was there in Kincardine, Ontario, I'd be out campaigning for you, buddy.
Well, I actually have quite a few people from BC saying that on my Facebook.
Well, I would. Okay, so what you want to do is just send me some money, and I'll come over for a couple of weeks, and I'll go door to door, and we'll have a talk with people.
I'm like you, Barry. I've been doing this
I'm
for
broke.
12 years.
If I had money, I'd jump on a plane, buddy.
I ain't got no money.
Neither do I. You know? But I got some good ideas.
I know. I mean, the position, you know, when you get all in like this and you really care about people and you care about your country, money becomes absolutely secondary. And I know we've struggled. I mean, we've come close to losing the house more than once. Luckily something happens and, you know, it works out, but it's been a struggle. You know, I could go out and make a lot of money, if I opened up another construction company like I used to have, but this is more important. You know?
You know what? I'm going to absolutely agree with you, Ron, because I could go back to work on my job that I held for years and years and years, making 150 grand a year. But
yeah.
I told before I walked away from that job, because I came to a point in my life, buddy, where, you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
That's right.
And I walked away from, you know, the regular job, paying taxes, blah, blah, blah. I had employee guy working for me all the time, doing all that crap. I walked away from it because I don't want to support the demon that's tearing our country apart.
Well,
and I'll do everything I can, I know, but this is just where I've gone with my life. I'm an anarchist. I don't even have a bank account anymore. People ask me how I live without a bank account. Very, very easily, my friends. I won't support the banking system.
No,
you know, I mean, it might sound crazy to people, but really, if we all kind of develop that kind of attitude that we want to do whatever we possibly do to keep money away from the people that are screwing us up the butt, excuse my
but
language.
See, you've taken that back to the local position, right? And that's where the power is, right? The banks have no power over if your whole locality says, piss off, we're opening up our own bank, right? The province doesn't have any power over you, right? It's an ingrained psychological thing that they put into our heads that they, not us, are the authority.
It's been turned around, huh? They're there to serve us, but we're there to serve them now. It's been totally flipped on us,
right,
and our brains have been conditioned to accept it.
That's why we call our new media site, which we got to get up quick. I mean, we're working on it still, but you know, that's why we called it Reset, because we got to reset things, because it's all totally backwards. It's completely off the charts. And it's an education process of telling, you know, teaching people that you can say no.
It's called learning to unlearn, Ron.
Yeah.
You know, we're programmed. Our brains are programmed. We don't realize that our brains are programmed. Society doesn't realize it. But when you start to open up that door to people and start to not, you know, point out a few things that they can relate to, not getting too deep down the rabbit hole, but stuff on the very surface that's easy for them to relate to, they start to see the picture.
We've gone extremely deep, but we don't have to take the people there. We have the knowledge, but we don't need to drag people down there, because most of them can't deal with it and they don't have the time to deal with it. So, you know, people like you and I and so many others have spent all these years sorting through this stuff so we understand completely what the game is. So it makes it very easy. We can discuss with them at the local level why this is going on at your local level. We don't have to go after the Rothschilds or any of these other people. We just have to explain to the people why things are going on in your local neighborhood the way they are, and what's behind it, which is just simply your CAOs and your administration. I mean, we're in education mode now. I think we've gone past the learning mode and we're into education mode now, which is what you did with your t-shirt.
Well, yeah, people want to converse, man. It's amazing. Yeah. They want to talk. They want to share ideas. And that's what I experienced here in Terrace in the last couple of days. So I'm going to keep it up, and we'll try and promote this. There is a couple other sites. Kevin Johnson now has the same t-shirt available on his site. So there is a few other sites that are putting this t-shirt out. But you know what, Ron? If I was a multimillionaire, I'd get millions of these made up and just give them to people. If they can't afford to buy it, give
but
it
we
to
still
them.
Have, we still have, we still have, we still have the other problem, Barry. Okay. And that
just
is
just saying, buddy.
Just, yeah, I know, but just getting people angry at Trudeau. So this is the problem. What's the solution? Well, we're going to vote conservative. Well, that's not a solution. Okay. You didn't move anywhere. You didn't go anywhere. The same programs are going to continue.
Right. I think if people really start to go down the rabbit hole and they start to get concerned and involved, they'll study the conservative program or the conservative party and realize that it doesn't matter if you vote liberal or conservative. You're voting for the same snake with just a little bit different head.
Well, they use
they
use a little bit different nuances in their language, and the linguistics are a little bit different. But, I mean, who signed us on to Agenda 21? Conservatives.
Well, look at what
Harper signed us on to in 2015, I think it was, that we are going to stop using fossil fuels in Canada.
Yeah, I know.
He's a conservative, right?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Ron.
They're
both on the same program.
Well, that's why in our reset program, we're not allowing any, there will be no right-left bullcrap allowed in there. The whole point of our group, and our site in that is to get people above this nonsense. As long as we continue to play right and left, they win.
Exactly.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They win.
Radical times require radical movements, Ron, and I see a few of those welling up in Canada right now. Looking at, you know, we talk about Maxime Bernier. We talked about the fact that he is a member of the Privy Council. That is the only thing right now that I've listened to his videos, I've listened to his platform, I've listened to him talk. Now, if this man is for real, and I could get over this issue of what his involvement in the Privy Council exactly means, I would throw support behind this guy because everything he's saying is resonating with me. And it's resonating
that's the
with
whole
Canadians.
Point, though. That's the whole point. I mean, when I was when I was being hustled by the Conservative Party here in Ontario, by way back in 2007. And I only ran because I was ticked off because the guy wouldn't let me on the radio show, on mainline radio, told me there's no effing way you're getting on the radio, and ticked me off. So I ran. But when I, at the end of the all candidates meetings, two things happened. One, the NDP, candidate came up to me who was, in the Bob Rae government, come up to me and said that, he wanted to shake my hand. I went, why? And he said, do you realize if you hadn't run, no issue of any importance would have been allowed to see the light of day. You took the real issues and had us dance it from the get-go. And then I was, pulled over by the, handler, for the Conservative candidate. And, he was telling me that I had a great future in politics. Mm-hmm. And I explained to him that I was missing something. And he said, I've watched you since the beginning, my friend, and you are missing nothing. You have a great future in politics if you want it. And I said, well, you see, I can't shake someone's hand and smile at them while I'm lying to them. And he just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and he said, oh, that. I went, yeah, that.
Yeah.
And you know what he says to me? He says, well, if you ever change your mind, I'm telling you, you got a great future in politics. So anybody that is in any position in politics, especially who have taken the oath to serve the Queen, which is the corporation known as Canada, is a liar. Okay. So Maxime Bernier will say whatever the hell he needs to say to split the vote. I mean, what's going on here now is a planned split vote. Both the Liberals and the NDP and the Conservatives, all anybody that's ever been in the cabinet, any upper echelon, judicial people, and even Maurice Strong, for crying out loud, who was never in politics, is in the Privy Council. I should tell you everything you need to know about the Privy Council. Mm. So they take an oath, and they at their beck and call of the corporation for life. Right. Now, how are we going to keep this program going? Exactly. Well, if we split the party, then odds on Trudeau getting back in are pretty good. And then you can save face as the Conservative Party, and we'll continue on over here, right? It's really very sick. So voting for Bernier or voting for Scheer changes nothing. If Scheer gets in, nothing changes. Bernier ain't going to get in, so nothing changes. Yeah, this is why I'm saying that the local level is where the power is. That's the only place we can get power.
Well, that's where I was going with this conversation. I was going to get around to the point that what I see being played on the Canadian people right now is a ploy. And because of his involvement in the Privy Council, like I said, if it wasn't for his involvement in the Privy Council, I would be looking at this guy a lot harder because he is saying and resonating with Canadians. But that is a ploy, as far as I'm concerned, being played on the Canadians to split this vote and allow the Liberals to run for another 4 years in Canada. And if that happens, then we're done.
No, we're not done.
Well, I would be a terrible country after it. No, but it would be a terrible country if we allow this Liberal government to control what's going on in Canada for another 4 years. That's a fact that we can't deny.
But you see, like right now, they're talking about Toronto seceding from the province of Ontario and becoming another province. Mm-hmm. This is resilient cities. This is called the city state. Calgary's in that business and Edmonton's in that business. I'm sure Vancouver's in that business. And the idea of the city state is that all the federal money goes to those city states and no money goes to the rural areas. They're going to starve them out. So those people have to leave the rural areas to go to the cities to find employment. Mm-hmm. Okay. And once you do that, okay, you're in the high density city on the rail transit. You can't go anywhere except where they send you. You eat what they tell you to eat and so on and so forth. We have to we have to survive the rural areas, okay? And the only way you can survive the rural areas is to be in control of the rural areas. And I don't care what – I mean, it's the same thing with the migration. They want to flood the rural areas with the migration. They want to set up the mosques and that in the rural areas. They want those, and what's going to happen is those people are going to end up on the councils, and they're the ones that make the rules. If we just stand down like we've been standing down, we're going to lose control of our rural areas as well. So we have a golden opportunity at this point in time to stand up. You've got all those people on your petition to stand up and take control of our councils. Then we can say no to the federal money, which is being fed to the local councils to bring migrants to their communities. Right. We can say no at that point. No, we're not interested, okay? Because the federal government really doesn't have any power over the municipalities, because according to the federal government, they don't recognize municipalities as a government organization. They recognize the municipalities as a type of business, which they are, you know. And it goes back to when I was talking to a senior guy from the attorney general's office. Is, you know, he said, Ron, you know, you're a man of great knowledge. Well, whatever. But he said, you do also realize we never left the feudal system. Well, of course I realize that. So the federal government is the king, okay? And then he splits up the land that he's in control of and gives control to his buddies, and that's the provinces. And then the guys that are in control of the provinces split it up into smaller parts, and they call it counties and municipalities. Mm-hmm. And it's all just a tax regime, which is exactly the same thing as it was a long time ago in England. Okay, this is not a democracy. This idea of a democracy, you might want to call it a demonocracy, which would be closer to the truth. Mm-hmm. But we have to get control back. And if the only place, and I can't say this enough, is at the local level. You know, there's all these people trying to start these new parties in that. Alberta wants to separate from Canada. Well, that's the other part of the game, is to split us up and make us weaker and weaker and weaker. Mm-hmm. Okay. And a divided nation ain't going to stand. A divided people can't stand. That's why they got you in the right left swamp. Okay, you know, I watch people when they go get a cup of coffee in the morning, and this guy comes in and picks up a Toronto Sun, which is right. Next guy comes in and picks up a Toronto Star, which is left. These people can't have a conversation together. It's impossible. So
true,
right? We've got a divided nation. So we got to get the lefties out. Yeah. So the righties come in, but they're in the same freaking Privy Council. They're on the same team.
And around and around and around it goes.
Yeah, until you have no nation left.
Yeah, I see that happening, Ron. And good points you've made here in the last couple of minutes about power starting at home. It's so true.
You got to be really proud of the Pope, eh, Barry?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Pope is guided.
Don't get me going. Don't get me going on the Pope today, Ron, please. Or the Catholic Church. Or
when I first heard that term that I'm not a pedophile, I'm minor attracted. I just say, bring your face over here so I can break it for you.
Fucking
right?
Step on it, man. Oh,
yeah. You know,
the stuff that's going on in the Catholic Church right now, it gets me right to the gut. It really does. You know, I have a hard time, Ron. You know, I got into a conversation this morning with Barbara Streetcrow and a couple other people that really kind of, you know, we go inside our hearts and we go, like, how can people do what they do to children? I just cannot rationalize some of the abuses that children have to suffer in this world. And these people that are behind these abuses. And if you think it's all bull, folks, I mean, really, if you start looking at all the connections between the Clintons and the Podestas, go down that rabbit hole for a while, and you'll come to the conclusion that our planet is being run by pedophiles, that people are so sick that they don't have a soul, Ron. And that's what, to me, that's what it comes down to. They have sold their souls to the devil, Ron, whether you believe in God or the devil or what you believe in. They have sold their souls to the devil, because I can't explain why anybody would want to harm a child. I would kill to protect a child.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, it's very sick, and
breaks my heart.
Well, the right side, when I mean right, I mean right-minded, not politically, have succumbed to the wrong-minded. And there's only two things in the world. There's right and there's wrong. And those who know right intrinsically have allowed themselves to be seduced somehow into allowing all of this wrong to take place and then make excuses for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite pathetic.
It's the new norm.
You know, but
of course, you've got entertainment and you've got every facet of government, entertainment industry, you name it, promoting it. And yeah. It is so in our faces right now. You look at the toys that are being put in front of children. You look at the indoctrination in schools. You look at the SOGI programs now that are being introduced and complete confusion of young minds, stuff that doesn't even belong in their brains now being put into their brains. And henceforth, children are confused. They really don't know what a boy or a girl is anymore. It's wrong to be a boy. It's wrong to be a girl. If you want to be something different, that's fine. It's just unbelievable what I see going on in the school systems and how, and henceforth, Ron, we're seeing a rise in homeschool. And well, I'll tell you, people, we need to get our kids out of the education system.
Yeah, we're hoping.
Or get into the education and stop it, into the system, go to your school, more meetings and stop it.
I'm a firm believer that if and I've written this many times to people, you know, that if you're a parent and you have your child in the public school system, please understand, okay, you're aiding and abetting child abuse. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the bottom line.
And you got to take responsibility for it. People don't think they're responsible for anything anymore. It's like, you know, I'll never get that Zabrinsky out of my head. You know, he said it take 2.5 to 3 generations to basically make people so spiritually weak, spinally weak, and mentally weak that we can do whatever the hell we want with them. Mm-hmm. And this is a prime example.
Yeah, and this is something that's been implemented into our society incrementally because, you know, and I know that back in the 50s, if we could go back to 1950 right now and put the stuff on TV in 1950, we didn't have TVs back then, but we could expose it to public what exactly is going on in our world. In 1950, there would be riots in the street. You'd see people marching down to MSNBC and CNN, all the Hollywood production offices with guns and pitchforks in their hands. Yet now it is accepted. It's incrementally been brought into our society. I see it more so in the last 30 years when we've really seen the attack on the human soul, the human body, our physical stance, our bodies under attack. Children are being filled with chemicals before they're 5 or 6 years old. Their brains are scrambled. We see our children now leading the world in disorders, in dementia, in ADHD, any cognitive disorder. We now lead the world, North America. Yeah. We lead the world.
Now they claim everybody has a mental illness and we're going to fill you with some more drugs.
Let's give them Ritalin. Let's give them this. Put them on an antidepressant. Give them some Oxycontin. Dope them up. Blow their brains right out before they even have a chance to rationalize what's going on in this world. What a way to create a society of clones, man.
Well, yeah. And you know, our forefathers, and it's not that long ago, the late 1800s, when they first were coming out with the vaccines, there was humongous protests against the vaccines. But you don't read about that in the school books. The medical profession doesn't tell you about it, right? And, I mean, they knew back then that this was a bad idea. But, you know, those people who were protesting back in the late 1800s have passed away now. And it's the old incremental thing, right? That histories are basically not brought to the public. Right. And that's what they know. They know that, you know, you and I are going to pass. You know, we're both 64. I hope I make 94 because I would like to see I'd like to see some forward movement over the next while. But, the idea, and this is what I tell people, you know, is that, you know, we have a duty. As long as we're standing here and we're breathing, we got a duty. Because if we fail in this duty, then we've told everybody below us and that comes after us that we didn't give a damn about you. So that makes us even more guilty than the machine that is trying to run over us because we didn't stand up to it. We just cowered like scared children in the corner.
Ron, I find now that if you open up your heart to people, and that might sound corny, but it really is an efficient tool that you try and reach out to people that we are really dealing with something that is catastrophic for the future of our children. You know what? One of the phrases I use a lot, and it might sound corny, but I tell people, you know what? If you don't get involved right now, and you don't really start paying attention and start standing up to what's going on, your children are going to curse you. And I don't think I could ever make a more honest statement to people. They are going to curse you because we know all this stuff is going on and it's our duty. It's our duty to our legacy. It's a duty to our children. It's everything about our life right now is meaningless. If we are leaving this pile of unbelievable dung for our children to deal with. And that's what we're doing right now. I get people saying to me, Ron, you know, it pisses me off. I get people saying to me sometimes, I had one old guy in Tim Hortons one day. We started talking. He said, well, I don't have to worry about this. I'll be dead and gone. And
I turned to him,
buddy, and I blasted him in front of everybody in Tim Hortons. Everybody in there heard what I had to say because I could not hold it back.
When somebody tells me that, the first time I heard that.
Oh, man, it got me mad.
It blew me away. And I've heard so many times.
Spineless prick.
Yeah. By the time they get it all in place, I'll be dead and gone. What do I care?
Yeah, who cares? Look at the pile of crap you left for your kids. They don't deserve
this. And I just look at these people now and I said, you, my friend, are one of the walking dead. You're already dead, right? Because you have nothing to offer, nothing to give, and you don't give a damn. Therefore, you're already dead. You've already passed.
Yeah,
right?
You're sitting there in your $50,000 car, your $1 million house. You've enjoyed what this country has provided for you, and you're leaving this pile of crap, and you know that what they're going to experience isn't anything like what you've experienced, and you don't have the guts to stand up. Just pissed me right off.
Ron. No, I tell, sorry, buddy,
I don't get mad on the radio, but I got
what you said about the, in the future. Well, you know, I tell people, I said, I don't want your offspring to be standing over your grave in 30 years from now. And they found a book or a CD or some information, and they're locked down in a city, living in a cubicle, and they can't go anywhere, and they're not eating right, and all the rest of this stuff. I don't want them to be standing over your grave looking down at it with one simple question. Why didn't you do something? Mm. You know? And so, because if we let this get too far ahead,
The window's going to close, Ron.
They have no future. None.
Exactly.
You know,
you're looking at a future that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Even if you were my worst enemy, I wouldn't wish on you the future I see coming for people. And we have a window right now, Ron, that we can do something about.
And we're going to win, Barry. I have no doubt in my mind we're going to win. I would not be doing this if I didn't think we were going to win. I write a lot, you know, when people respond to something I put in Facebook or wherever, you know, and I'll just say, you know, it's as easy as this. Keep talking, teaching, and shining the light. Okay. That's your duty. If you can do just that, we can win.
We don't have a choice, Ron.
No, we don't have a
choice. I don't have a choice right now. I could not even fathom walking away and not at least trying to reach people's hearts and educate
them. You know,
I just can't do that.
I have a friend who says, you know, like, you know, and I've only known him for about 3 years, and he says, why do you do this? You know, like you're always on the edge of broke, and you know, you could go out and make a whole pile of money. And I say, you don't get it yet, you know? And I've been talking to him.
He's the source of all evil, buddy.
Well, you know.
It's necessary, but it's a source of evil, and I don't want for money. If I have a roof over my head.
I'm not exactly. I am for what's right motivated, not money motivated. And I hope I win this stupid election. I don't want to be the mayor, but. You know, I have to get into a position, hopefully, where if I win this election, I know it's going to inspire other people.
Right.
And that's the only reason I'm really doing it, other than I can get inside the castle walls, which you're never going to do in the provincial or federal elections. You're never going to do it. So it's a waste of time. So where can we get in? Where can we get control of some power? Local level.
Right.
That's where we live. And at the local level, you know, at the local level, the only place that you can have power and not be left or right is at the local level.
Well, okay. I want to get involved, Ron, but unfortunately, because of my stance as an anarchist, my stance against the government, I haven't done tax returns in years. I challenge them to come and take me away, but they never do. They call me every couple of years. I give them a spiel. They don't call me for a couple of years, but if I got into the public limelight, it would give them something to attack me with. And that plus of my criminal past, they could dig that up. And
no, I'm not worried about any of that stuff. I mean, I have assaulting.
Well, I want to get involved. I do.
I always call that excuse. I have a friend that does the same thing. I said, it's just an excuse. I mean, I've been busted for this and busted for that. And But as of late, since I got into this, it's been much more severe than anything I ever did before. We've had our power cut off several times, for lengthy times, when the bills were already paid because, you know, I'm exposing stuff. I got banned from the hospital for asking questions, and a family member passed away and I didn't get to see him. I've been, falsely arrested and thrown in jail and dragged through court, and they ended up after this lengthy mess, discharging the charges because they didn't have anything to charge with in the first place. It's just intimidation. Right.
Yeah. You know, Ron, I did have an issue here with my arm in the last week, and I got a bit of an infection and I've had to go to the hospital, and gave me the opportunity to talk to quite a few doctors here in the last week. And I am seeing a shift in doctors' thinking. I really am. There's a gentleman now that's opening up a cannabis clinic here in Terrace. It's just absolutely grabbing the society down by storm right now. Clinic's opening up in 2 weeks. But I had a chance to engage a lot of doctors up at the hospital, what their thoughts were about this new clinic. And you know what the response I got, Ron, from a lot of them was, it's about time. It's about time. And this is coming from doctors. I mean, they know what's going on. They know that they're what's going on with big pharma, and they know the stats of what prescription drugs and drug interaction is doing to people. They're not stupid. And it really kind of surprised me that I got that reaction from a couple of the doctors up there.
Say, Barry, can I ask you something?
Cannabis has a major part in medicine. They're starting to realize that. So they're now starting to look at it, and that's a good change in our society. The sooner we get away from pharmaceuticals, it's just another avenue of attack that we can eliminate.
Barry, can I tell you something?
Yeah, we're almost down to time.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say it's been about, I don't know, at least 4 years back. And I don't remember the man's name, but I had him on. He went around the U.S. teaching small communities how to take their power back. He was fighting the fracking. He was fighting eminent domain. And he taught communities how to do that at the local level. There is power at the local level.
That is where it is.
Yeah, yeah. Like Ron said,
good thought, Steve.
Don't even worry about the federal
information.
Yeah,
it takes people to get involved, Steve. It really does. It takes people to really get to a point where, hey, look, you know, we can't change the government, like Ron is kind of pointed out today, and we can do it by getting involved in our local levels. Because if we don't get involved, then the people with nefarious ideas are going to get involved because they have the power, and that's what we see happening in our councils. And this is a great approach and great information for people to comprehend today and digest. Stand up.
I see Steve's picture here, and I want to say professor.
Professor, big beard, eh?
Huh?
Big beard.
It's just the gentleman just oozes intelligence, and he sounds extremely intelligent.
Well, I really appreciate him producing my shows every day. I say it to him every time we're on the air, and I do actually really produce. I appreciate what Steve does for me.
I got
to
tell you, Ron.
We're down to the last 3 minutes here. I'm not trying to interrupt you, Ron. But why don't you tell people where they can find you? I know you do a regular show on – it's Revolution Radio, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's called Rock the Boat Radio. And why don't you give people times that they can tune in and listen to what you have to say?
Yeah, I do noon till 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And again, it's another – listener-supported radio station, which we have to keep these stations on the air come hell or high water. So please donate to this and other channels. I'm also running for mayor. I have a Facebook, Ron Stevens, elect for mayor. I haven't got a lot of information up there yet. But, you know, I want to thank you and Steve for having me on. And I'd like everybody to cross their fingers that I win the job of mayor so that we can try and work out some kind of a program that we can move to other locations. And I guess I'll shut up.
Hey, Ron, it's always, always a pleasure to have you on. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your day for joining me. We'll do this again. I would like to get you in again in a couple of weeks and we can continue this conversation. So
I've guessed it on a lot of places, and I got to say, Barry, this is about the most level-headed
show that I've guested on, and I want to appreciate.
Well, we bounce back and forth a lot of good ideas, Ron. We don't agree on everything, but we agree on a lot. And being able to communicate right now, like I said, is the most important thing that we can do. So again, I want to thank you for joining me. And I got Jürgen Wohlrath coming up the next hour. We're going to talk about going ons in Alberta. So stay tuned, folks. And
I got it. The Pope. The Pope's on. I got a call from the Pope. I got to go, guys.
Hey, one last thing. France just banned cell phones in schools.
Good move.
Good move.
All right, back to America.
Hey, listen, I'm taking a 2-minute break.
Give me the boot, and I'll listen to the rest of the show or something.
Hey, you just got booted there, Ron. I'm going to walk away for a couple of minutes. My teeth are swimming. I'll be back in a couple of minutes with Jürgen. And we'll welcome back, folks, to the second hour of The Big Puzzle. Got to thank Ron Stevens again for joining me. Really, really enjoy having conversations with that man. And we seem to be having a lot more lately, so... hope to have him back on in a couple of weeks. Next week, I've got two really credible people coming on. Jim Lee from Climate Viewer 3D is going to join me. And Vinny Eastwood Show is tentatively agreed to join me next week, so please tune in. And also on the 20th of September, I just got a confirmation that I am going to be interviewing Maxime Bernier. He's been gracious enough to give me an hour of his time. I'm going to put some very, very hard questions to the man. So tune in for that show, guys. That's September 20th. At 1 p.m. Jürgen Wohlrath has joined me for the second hour. I've actually done a show with Jürgen in the past, and really enjoyed talking with the gentleman. Great understanding of what's going on in our country right now. And thanks for joining me, Jürgen.
Well, listen, Barry, thanks a lot for having me on. I've been anxious to speak with you again since our last conversation. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed our last conversation, and really what we see going on in Canada right now needs a lot of conversations. And we were talking, don't want to get on it again, but go out and get yourself a T-shirt that says Trudeau for prison and wear it around your community, Jürgen, and see what kind of response you get. Because if everybody in Canada did this right now, that is really peed off what we see going on, we would spark a national conversation. And that's what needs to happen in Canada right now. We need to spark a national conversation.
It's funny you say that, Barry.
And it's just a tool. It works good. It worked great for me, Jürgen. Blew me away.
I have to tell you, Barry, when I came out to Medicine Hat, as you know, I lived most of my life in Ottawa, in the Ottawa area. I had businesses there. I had a lot of dealings with the federal government. I got to know personally the drug dealer of Margaret Trudeau, and personally witnessed the RCMP coming to his home and picking up drugs for Margaret back in the late 60s, early 70s. Wow. So it was quite an education for me at a very young age to realize that the laws of the land were separate for those in power and those of us little folk.
Of course.
You know, when you see the RCMP knocking at the door of the drug dealer saying, as long as you sell her marijuana, it's okay, but if you give her any powder, we're going to come after you. That's basically what he was told, this young lad. And we had friends that were getting arrested for a joint, and here's the prime minister's wife getting escorted by the RCMP. it's unbelievable. And, that, you know, that was way before any discussion of legal marijuana, that's for sure. But, you know, you talked about that shirt, Barry, and I got to tell you, when I first came out here to Medicine Hat, my son bought me this hat that I'm wearing right now. It's a red hat with white letters on it that say, make Trudeau a drama teacher again. I have a black T-shirt with white letters that say the same thing. Now, I went to the superstore wearing the hat not too long ago, a couple of months ago. So I'm walking around the grocery store and people are nodding at me. They're winking at me. And there's some people are a little bit of disdain in their eyes. But I go walking out of the grocery store and this guy, I've got my cart and I'm pushing it towards my car. And this guy comes towards me and he's okay. But as soon as he sees my hat, his eyes turned into this rage. And right away he got violent and he wanted to attack my shopping cart. So my wife kind of pushed us to the side, and we got into our car and got our groceries in. But I'll tell you, this guy went flaming violence. His eyes turned into this reptilian whatever. He was just a madman, which just goes to show. He didn't want to have a conversation about the hat. He turned immediately to violence. No discussion, right?
Well, maybe people in Terrace are different because I didn't have one negative response to this T-shirt. Not one.
Good for you.
Where somebody came up to me and said, hey, what are you saying? What the hell are you all about? Like, what you know, are you an Islamophobic, bigoted, racist person?
Of course you are.
I'm Canadian, yeah. But, you know, that's what was so inspiring about it. Maybe my community is a little different than the community you're in, or maybe you just ran into a bad apple. But I think those bad apples are very far and few between, but we see them coming into our society. But you know what? Right. I had nothing but a positive response. You know what? It was a kind of like a social experiment, but it showed me that something simple as this can stimulate conversation. And this is a conversation that I had with Ron in the first hour that, you know, people want to talk, Jürgen. We know that something is very nefarious going on inside our governments, and it's not good for our future, but people are scared to talk. And all I found was this simple little thing that I did stimulated some incredible conversations and gave people an avenue to actually vent their rage about how they feel to somebody that is right on board with them. It's a common ground that we all need to communicate on right now.
Absolutely. And we all need to step up our game, Barry. Now is the time for us on the right to step up and say, you know what? Our voices need to be heard. Our voices have been silenced now for 40, 50 years. It's time for us to rise up. And although we've had spatterings of right-wing leadership, the right-wing leadership that we've had has been in bed with the left wing for the most part anyways. They followed the same agenda. But now what we're seeing now is with Trump, with Brexit, with Hungary, with all these Eastern European countries, we're seeing an awakening of populism. We're seeing an awakening of meritocracy. The awakening of the right thing to do is happening, and we're in the middle of it. It's one of the most exciting times in history, and I'm certainly glad to be a part of it.
Well, we don't have a choice right now, do we, Vogel? If we, knowing what we know, we cannot turn our back on this. And people ask me, why I even waste my time? You know, they say, well, you're not going to wake people off, you know. But what are you wasting your time for? Nobody's listening to you talk. Well, you know what? You're going to have one person listens to me talk, and I make sense to one person in my thoughts. That's a good day in my life. I don't care if there's one person or 1,000 people listening to me. I'm going to talk until they silence me. And that time could come in the near future if we don't stand up now, folks.
Absolutely right. I'm in total agreement, Barry, and I feel exactly the same way. If I've managed to influence just one person to wake up, then I'm a happy camper. And I can go to my grave knowing that at least I put up a fight. Where we see so many people sitting on the damn couch, they won't get up. I've had so many people over my lifetime, and I've been 50 years an activist. Pierre Trudeau betrayed me. I was a young liberal back in 1968. I helped elect that son of a bitch. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. Pardon my language on air, folks. But I get so riled up. This guy, when I was 17, 18 years old, barely at grade 12 or whatever, helping this guy get elected. And then I find out 2-3 years later, he was actually a communist. He rode around Montreal supporting the Nazis. And listen, this is coming from a guy. I was born in Germany. My father fought for the German army. My grandfathers all got killed fighting for the German army. But I'm a Canadian. I came to this country. I love Canada. But what have they done to this country? What are they doing to us? Listen, Barry, you and me, we're old stock Canadians. We're the guys that this leader of ours hates.
Yep. And he doesn't want anything to do with us. After. They're coming after us there. I know that. But you think I'm going to stand in fear? I mean, I expect them to come knocking on my door one of these days because that's how far our country has slid. And Pierre Elliott Trudeau, man, all you have to do is go spend 3 hours studying that guy, find out his connections to the Nazis during the Second World War, his involvement in the Council of Foreign Relations, his attendee at the Bilderberg meetings. Go look at all that, and then you'll understand how this has happened to our society, how it's been incrementally brought in, and henceforth we find ourselves in the situation we are today, where our country is falling apart. Unbelievable.
He was one of the first cultural Marxists to be disguised as a liberal in our country.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that blew me away, Jürgen, is my father's insight into Pierre Elliott Trudeau when he came to the scene in Canada. My dad, and I was only, I think, probably 13 years old, and my dad said that to me. He says, you know what, Barry, this man is going to destroy this country. And I looked at my dad, and I just kind of went, wow. You know, back at that time, of course, I just shrugged it off. But he said that to me, and that's resonated with me in the last 3 or 4 years when I really started to look into Pierre Elliott Trudeau and how his experiment in Canada has brought us to where we are today and how it is being played onto the people. We are in a big pile of trouble right now, but the thing is, Jurgen, we have more than them. It's going to take people really looking inside themselves and asking themselves, what is the most important thing in your life right now? And to me, I say to myself that I want to make sure that my children and my grandchildren, I have grandchildren and children in the world right now, and I want to make sure, or at least I'm going to try and make sure that they have what I have. But right now, boy, we are getting so far away from that. It blows me away, people's priorities in life. We really got to get through to the human soul. Our souls have been so corrupted and so hardened that we don't seem to be able to look at what is the most important issues in our life. And we're just talking about political. We could get into talking about environmental, some of the things I see going on the planet right now. If people aren't paying attention to this, Jurgen, you're really, really selling yourself short. We're looking at environmental issues right now that just absolutely boggle my mind. And it's going to get to a point where we're going to see the food chain collapse. Well, you know, people at that point, Jurgen, it seems that it's that society needs to be actually stabbed before they get involved. But the problem with getting stabbed is that stab is too late, that you're already past the point of where you're going to be able to do something about that. And that applies to what we see going on in our oceans, our environment, our biosphere, our plant production, crop production dropping worldwide in massive numbers over the next 3 years. The projections that I read are just mind-boggling. And then we see what's going on in the ocean. I go, well, really, folks, what's important in your life? Oh, that TV, a new car, a game? I mean, get your bloody faces out of those Game Boys and pay attention to what's going on. Look over your head and look at the chemicals they're spraying on top of us. And then ask you why forest fires are burning at an incredible rate now in British Columbia and Alberta and all over the planet like we've never seen before in human history. Just another thing, a normal thing happening in society. It's all correlated, folks, and it's just such a big tentacle, such a big puzzle, that when you start looking at it, Jurgen, it's like, wow, that's tied in with this, and this is tied in with that, and that's supporting this in an indirect way, and that's supporting this in an indirect way. It boggles your mind. It really does.
And but if
I'm in here for the fight, buddy. I have got so riled up in the last little while right now that I'm trying to control my anger, but I'm trying to come across to people right from my heart, because how else are we going to reach them right now, Jurgen?
Well, there's really no other way. But the problem that we have, Barry, as you know, is we have this tremendous amount of people in this country that have bought into the CBC and CTV narrative talking points, and you can't swing them away from them. I know people that I love dearly that they swear by CNN, and you cannot fight them. You can't argue with them. It's just like they have this blindfold. Listen, my wife is a victim of the tainted blood scandal, okay? The people who caused the tainted blood scandal were the Clintons. The Clintons bought tainted blood from Arkansas and Louisiana state prisoners, and they sold it to the Red Cross, and thousands of Canadians got poisoned. Mulroney knew it. Paul Martin knew it. He was in the pharmaceutical company that brokered the deal. And the pharmaceutical head of the company, after it was found out that the blood was given to Canadians and so many thousands of Canadians died, he was quoted as saying, "I knew I should have sent the blood to Africa." This is Canada.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the same company that discovered that their vaccine contained HIV virus and they couldn't sell it in the North American market, so they sent it over to Africa and sold it over there. We're talking about the same company.
Same company.
Bayer Corporation now owns Monsanto.
Yep.
That's the giant, the absolute giant. That's, man, I studied GMOs, guys, and if anybody, I mean, most of the people that are listening today are educated people. And they have looked into GMOs, but the common man on the street, I still bring up the conversation of genetically modified food, and they're clueless. They have no idea of what the effect that food is having on our bodies, and yet it's just another orchestrated tentacle of attack on the human body, our health, man. If our bodies are sick, which we are, like as I mentioned in the first hour, we, Canada, the United States, we should be proud of ourselves because we're leading the world now in all cognitive disorders. We're leading the world in Alzheimer's. I just looked at the reports from 2017. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. We are the sickest people in the world right now. Yeah, you know, we spend 10 times as much on healthcare. And this really boggles my mind. We spend 10 times as much on healthcare in Canada and the United States as the next closest country in the world. Okay.
Well, we value, so you roll public, that, we value death more than life, Barry. We value death higher than life, right?
Of course, our lives are meaningless to the people on top, Jürgen. You know that.
That's right.
You know they have no soul. You know that these people are evil beyond anything that our brains can comprehend. Because we're what I consider a fairly normal person. I love my children. I love life. I love freedom. I love everything that I've been able to enjoy in my lifetime growing up. And I'm 64. I'm right in with you with age and Ron and all us old stock Canadians now are going like, man, this is beyond control. And if we don't step up right now, our biggest task is reaching the young people. But in the same mouthful, I am seeing a mass awakening in the millennials right now in this country.
There is a mass awakening in millennials. I totally agree. However, I need to throw this out there, and people need to remember this. At the age of 24, Justin Trudeau was given the portfolio of Ktimovic. He was handed a check, basically, for $50 million that organization had, and there was no competition for that job. I called ministers. I wrote letters. I wanted to find out, was there a competition for the head of this organization, right, that influences the youth in this country? The Ktimovic program had been running for years. And I don't know, most Canadians don't even know it exists. But what it is, it's a program where the government takes kids from BC and they bring them to Quebec. They take them from Quebec to go to the Yukon and all over the country. They fly all over the place, getting kids to interact with kids from different areas of the country. Trudeau's been running that organization for 20 years, guys. How many of the kids has he influenced? How many high schools? How many lectures has he given? And when he became prime minister, don't forget, the first thing he did was declare himself minister of youth.
Well,
he's had decades and millions of dollars to influence the youth to vote. And that's why he got in the last time. And that's why we got to be really careful the next time, because I'm afraid that the powers in play are going to make sure he's reelected again. They're going to throw everything at it. You can bet your skippy, right?
Yeah. And if he gets in, well, for another 4 years, then we're really in a big pile of problems.
We're toast. We're done.
But this doesn't matter. But then, you know, you look at Andrew Scheer. He's the same mold, man. He's just another snake of the same talking head. And right now in Canada, the whole system needs to be revamped. And we talk about that a lot. But unless the system is changing, we get away from serving the Queen and we get under out of the rule that we're in. We're not in a democracy. Unless that's changed, nothing's ever going to change, Jürgen. Radical times require radical movements. We see the nationalist movement. I'm watching the election right now in
Sweden.
I'm watching the Nationalist Party, and the rise of power of this party is absolutely unbelievable. We just saw what happened in Austria. A complete right-wing conservative party was elected.
See what happened in Brazil.
They're knocking out, they're kicking Moss out of the country. They've stopped the immigration. They're going to deport any illegals. They're clamping down on it 1,000%.
The leader of the right wing in Brazil just got stabbed, Barry. Did you see that?
I heard that. He got stabbed.
He was on a guy's shoulders. I was watching the video. He was on a guy's shoulders. They were cheering for him, and a guy comes up with a knife and stabs him.
Yeah, I just saw that before we went on the air here.
Brutal.
I haven't had a chance to follow that link.
But
anybody that's speaking their mind right now, anybody that's speaking against the establishment, is literally we're sticking our necks out. We are.
Yep.
We're up against it for sure. They want us to be inferior, Jürgen, and I'm not going to succumb to their fear in any shape.
Me neither. No way. You're not stopping me. You're not stopping you.
You know, we have to be committed. I can't see right now, honestly speaking from my heart, what would be more important right now than just trying to talk to people and sharing thoughts with people. Because if we don't, man, we're in for a very, very, very bleak future.
And Barry, you know, one thing I'm realizing, the older I get, the less I fear life in prison.
Hey, so what? If they put me away, they put me away, buddy. I refuse to bend to it, man.
I know they
can come to my door one of these days and say, hey, you did this, you did that, blah, 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 you're under arrest. And it's so corrupt in the prison systems now, you might never hear from me again, you know?
That's a real possibility.
We look at what's going on in all conservative voices right now. We're under massive attack. And it's time for us to stand up and say, hey, there's more of us than there is of you.
Look at the social scores now they have in China. What people don't realize and what they need to realize is that Google and these companies, they're multinational corporations. They're not American or Canadian. They're multinationals. They don't give a shit about your country. They couldn't care less. It's all about the bottom line. How much money can they make? right? They don't care about you. They don't care about any message unless it's a message of left and complete control. That's the only message they understand. They want us all under control.
And then you could follow the rabbit hole to find out who owns these corporations and these corporations like Google, and you'd start cross-referencing those names against other names that are pertinent in history, and you'll start seeing all the pieces fall together.
Yep, and I have the saying that I'm going by, and that is censorship is to art like lynching is to justice. It's the same damn thing. You can't just have the mob rule and saying, okay, we're the ones that are going to decide what's truthful. That this letter that went to the op-ed in the United States at the New York Times, that commie rag that used to be a really important newspaper. Mm-hmm. I saw the decline in the New York Times. It's just absolutely unbelievable. When I was a younger man, I used to read that paper from front to back, and I think, wow, this is where you get the news. And now you look at it, it's just so far left, it is unbelievable.
Well, you could say the same thing about any mainstream media now in the United States of America. It's all controlled information, and people don't see it. I mean, I love Trump calling out fake news because he's really brought – you look at the numbers now for CNN. Their attendance are – I mean, it's just their numbers are plummeting. If you look at the numbers for alternative media, they're surpassing organizations like CNN. And they don't want you to know that, but, you know, look, I mean, I'm not a super big supporter of Fox News, but they do bring issues to people's attention that that other networks don't even touch. The same thing with the rebel media here in Canada. A lot of things they touch on, I've had disagreements with, but they're bringing issues front that no other media in Canada will touch. And, of course, they're under attack.
Of course they are. Listen, I want to mention to your listeners back in 2009, I supported an independent candidate in Stormont in Ontario, in Stormont riding. At any rate, who it was doesn't matter. But the thing is, I went to an all-candidates meeting one time in Chesterville, a little burg just south of Ottawa. And the Legion Hall was packed. We had the dais there of the five candidates that were running for the federal election, and I was first up to answer to ask a question. And my question was, do you candidates want to know what is being taught in the Islamic schools and in the mosques in Canada? Okay, that was my direct question. And I said to the moderator, I would like a yes or no answer from all five candidates. Now, I was a supporter of the independent candidate. There was the Liberal, the Conservative, the Green Party, and the NDP. And my independent guy. So the Green Party guy right away said, no, didn't want to know what was being taught in the Islamic schools or mosques. The NDP goes, no, don't want to know what's being taught. The Conservative incumbent says, I've been for a tour of the facility and there's nothing egregious going on in that mosque. And then the Liberal guy says, I'm with him. My independent candidate says, yes, I want to know what's being taught. I want to know the curriculum, right? So I looked at the moderator and I said, I would like a yes or no answer from the Conservative and the Liberal. And the moderator looked at me and said, we're sorry, sir, your time is up. I turned around and looked at the whole audience. I looked at the audience and I said, this is Canadian democracy at work. Mm. What a joke.
You were a member of the Canadian Human Rights Commission for how many years?
Almost 15 years with Dr. Margaret Ritchie, the Human Rights Institute of Canada.
Okay. And when did you leave that organization?
Dr. Ritchie died a couple of years ago, and that's when the organization folded.
Give me your thoughts, because I'm getting some feedback here in chat. I'm going to bounce this off. Do you believe that all media's even – I mean, I said I'm not a big fan of Fox News, but I listen to what they're saying. Now, whether this is a ploy being played on the people, I cannot say for sure. I believe that there's a massive charade being played on the human race. It doesn't matter where you look or who is involved. There is a charade being played on the human race. And whether Trump is 100% involved in that or not, that is something that I'm still sitting on the fence and watching.
Right.
Because really, everybody pays a price to be where they are. And, everything he's saying right now, what he's doing to the American economy, you can't take away from the fact that the American economy is seeing a rebound, that their immigration levels are, or their unemployment levels are at lows and blah, blah, blah. And if you look at the actual stats, that's true. So what is it really going on here? Is this a giant ploy being played on the American people? Mm-hmm. That is a question I just cannot quite answer yet.
Only time will tell, Barry.
Huh?
Only time will tell on that one.
Yeah, no, but then, you know, if it wasn't for Fox News, some of the information they brought out about Peter Strzok, about the FBI, about all the backdoor and all this corruption that is going on, the sealed indictments, you wouldn't see CNN and MSNBC covering any of that information. None of it.
Not at all.
They don't touch it. So really, what is happening there? That's, you know, that's a big question. I don't believe everything that's coming out of Fox News is fake news in no stretch of the imagination. I don't agree with some of the things that are going on. Is it part of a giant ploy against the American people, against the people of the world? That, you know, that's a giant question. I don't have the answer for that. So I try and stay outside the box and watch.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I'm the same way. I've been on the fence since he got elected. I'm not sure. I've seen his actions in the last couple of years, and I tend to be on the positive side with him. I think that he's a sovereigntist. I think that he loves his country, as opposed to the prime minister we've got, who obviously adores the United Nations and couldn't give a crap about Canadians. That is evident, right? I mean, that is just right in your face. If you can't see that, then you really are stupid. You know, and I hate to say that about anybody, but we have come to the point where we got to lay the cards on the table and we got to call it for what it is. We have been too apathetic. We sit on the couch. We think a few people are going to look after it for us. And what happens is when I ran in 2006, 27% of the people came out to vote. 73% stayed at home, for God's sakes.
People are telling me I'm fired up. I haven't even started, Jürgen. I want to explode sometimes, but I can't do that. We've got to keep our conversation at a rational level. But everything you just said went through my brain, and absolutely, I agree with you 100%. And I am fired up. If you can't be fired up, seeing what's going on right now in our country, in our world, to our people, to our children, I just don't know what to say to you. I don't.
Look at the symbolism, Barry. Barry, we just have to look at the symbolism of these television programs. Every damn television program is now leftist. Roseanne Barr is kicked off.
The View, blah, 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 blah. I know.
Doesn't stop.
And people are still, but like I said, their numbers are dropping. And if you look at the number for CNN, MSNBC, all the mainstream medias, you're seeing a massive drop in audience. So people are waking up. But
I hope so.
Earlier, it's just not waking up. I know a lot of people think they're doing their bit by sitting on their TV or the computer all day and sending links to each other about this is wrong and that's wrong and this is wrong, you know, but they don't actually get involved. And doing a simple thing, folks, like putting on a T-shirt that says treason, put Trudeau in prison, you wouldn't believe how that starts interaction in your community. And that's where it has to start. We have to start talking with each other because we are in a big, big pile of crap right now. Jürgen, I never thought in my adult life I would see Canada in the situation that it is right now. But we are here. It's a reality, and we are the ones that are going to have to deal with it, folks.
Well, now the question is, how do we change it, right?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different ideas, a lot of different thoughts on that, Jürgen. But like I said earlier, if we continue down this two-party system, which is basically what we've had in Canada for the last 150 years of the progressives and the liberals, you're playing with the same snake. It doesn't matter who you elect. It doesn't matter what they tell you or what they say prior to election. They're going to follow the mandate that's been laid down in front of them, and they are on board. So until we get away from that, and we can actually get somebody in there that isn't a member of the Privy Council, isn't sworn to the Queen, is a true Canadian that wants to speak, will speak in a way that Canadians can resonate and honestly believe what the man is saying, because people don't trust politicians. I don't. I'm listening to what Maxime Bernier is saying, and I'm rolling that around in my head right now, and I'm going, this guy is saying what people want to hear, because people are resonating with him, but in the same muscle, he is a member of the Privy Council. And we talked about that in the first hour, of what that actually means. And people have to look past the smoke and the mirrors and the charades and really do their own research. They really do, because there is a lot on the line right now, folks, a lot, more than we can even wrap our minds around.
Like the Council on Foreign Relations, like the Bilderberg Group, the Privy Council, they're all wrapped into the same bunch that want to control our lives, period. That's what it's all about, right? And you're right. We have to take those actions. We have to wear the shirts. We have to wear the hats. We got to get in their face and have no fear.
Exactly. And the more people that you talk to, we can actually start getting them to expand their knowledge base on what's going on. You know, knowledge really alleviates fear. And fear is actually a good thing if it's channeled in the right direction. If you don't get angry when you start going down rabbit holes and you don't get angry, I remember my first reaction when I actually sat down on the computer one night. And believe it or not, my life changed that night in ways that I cannot even begin to describe to you, because I watched a video on 9/11 and I rationalized all the information in that video. And that night, my life changed, Jurgen, because I realized at that point that we're up against something that's so evil and so satanic that they would kill 3,000 of their own citizens to propagate the agenda. So you say to yourself, you know, if these people are willing to kill 3,000, 30,000 wouldn't make any difference. 300,000, 3 million, 30 million, a billion. It would make no difference to them. They have no soul. And that's what we got to realize we're up against, people that have no soul. So we can't rationalize.
You're right.
How can you rationalize this? You can't. As a human being, as somebody that, you know, loves people, and I do, I love people. I don't want to see people hurt. I want to see people happy. I want to see them feeding their kids, having a good life, enjoying life. And right now, it's all being taken away from us. And that really hits home with me, Jurgen. It does. It just, I shed tears sometimes. I can walk through a mall, and I look at a little baby, and I think about what's coming for that child. And it brings me to tears. And people, I say that, and people go, oh, you know, that sounds really corny, Barry, but it's true. I'm looking at it going, wow, you know, and we can change it, folks. We have to. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. It's our legacy right now. And sorry if I got a little emotional here, Jurgen, but I can't help it. I can't hold back emotions that are inside my heart, buddy.
No, Barry, you're absolutely right to have that emotion. Obviously, you're a fellow who cares for this country, who cares for people, who cares for mankind. Humanity is under attack. The goodness is under attack. And the problem that we have is that a lot of people do not recognize the face of evil. It dresses itself up in nice clothes. It has nice hair. It has the greatest socks. And they cannot see the evil. They cannot understand the rhetoric that is coming out that is lies and poison and the same kind of, listen, the talking points of every Western leader are the same. Doesn't that give you a clue?
You can go any country in the world right now.
Any country. Diversity is our strength.
Exact same agenda being played out.
Same thing played out. Same lines. They get the same talking points for the people in control, and they just mouth them off, and the blind people just follow and follow. And I'm so sick of it too, Barry. Listen, you don't know how many times I've been to Parliament Hill, and 50 to 100 of us show up, and I'm sitting there crying, thinking, why aren't a million people up here?
Yeah. Exactly. What are your priorities?
Why? What is wrong with people in this country that they can't see this nefarious stuff that's going on around us every day? The controls that we have, the regulations. Name me one thing in this country we can do without having to get a damn license for it.
Soon we'll need one to breathe, man. They're going to tax that next. As soon as they find a way to do that.
They're
to
save
the planet, man.
Right? You're taxing what we breathe out, for crying out loud. Next thing is taxing
there's
what we breathe.
There's a ball game on. There's a ball game. Hey, there's a hockey game on, Jurgen. Everything's fine. Drink your beer. Watch the hockey game.
Well, that's right.
Keep them distracted. Oh, yeah, keep them entertained, buddy. That's a conversation we could get into, buddy. That there's so many tentacles involved in this, Jurgen, that, you know, some days it blows my mind when I see how all this nefarious activity in the background is all tied together.
And I used to love football.
I haven't watched a professional sports game now for 3 years of my life. I cut the wire to my TV 3 years ago. It's the best thing you can do in your life, folks. Turn off the TV. And then you'll be forced to go to other places to get information outside of CNN and CBC, Canadian communist broadcasting bullcrap. It's just unbelievable, the bias. I call them out on it. You'll never get a response for them because they're just – they think they're part of the big party. But you know what? You guys at CBC that are listening, or the RCMP, or the Canadian Secret Intelligence Agencies, or any agency that's dropping in this conversation, because we know they're listening, you guys think that you're part of the party. You're just a pawn. And when the time comes, you're just going to be stepped on just like the pawns below you.
Yep, exactly right. You'll be the first one to be fed into the fodder machine.
Shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. I just can't stand it. You know, truth is being replaced by silence, and the silence is a lie. You know, everybody's quiet.
I am revved up today, Jürgen. If I get really pissed here sometimes, I have a really hard time holding back that emotion, and I don't express that to people I have conversations with the first or second time. But you've been around for a long time. You see it all right now, and I know it drives you nuts. It drives me nuts. People I communicate with every day, it's driving them absolutely insane.
Yeah.
To the point where just we want to explode. So we make sure that we channel that energy in the right direction, that people are starting to pay attention, and that maybe we can reap the hurts of some of these people that have been so hardened that they don't really see the trees for the forest anymore. I urge people, you know, Jürgen, there's so much bad stuff going on in the world right now, and I'm down the rabbit holes every day, that I make sure every night before I go to bed, I'll play a 5-minute video of a dog and a kitty cat getting along, or an animal being rescued out of a river, something that'll touch my emotion and put me to bed in a good mood. And I recommend people doing that, because if you're down the rabbit holes, it's very bleak. So end your day on a smile, folks. It really has an amazing effect. And of course, I always end my day with a little prayer.
That's a must. That's a must for sure. Especially nowadays, we all need prayer. No matter who you pray to and how you pray. It's a positive message.
You got to make sure you have a spiritual connection, Jürgen, because
if
you don't, you will go crazy. You will. And we know that there's some, I'm not a doomsayer. I don't consider myself ever to be a doomsayer. I'm not here going, hey, the world's going to end tomorrow. But we're seeing an accumulation of events right now on the planet, unheralded in our history. If people aren't paying attention to that, they're selling themselves short. We could talk about what we see going on politically, but geologically and with our environment too, it's just absolutely devastating. But it's all tied together. And I wonder some days I get up, I go, this is what I feel that we should be the most. It should be the conversation at every dinner table, every night of the week. The conversation should go from everything we just talked about in the last 5 minutes. But they're more busy talking about who is the leading scorer in the NHL, who's going to play the hockey game tonight.
Yeah.
Major League sports I've watched develop over the years, and how it's been used as a distraction, and how to pit people against themselves. You got the Stanley Cup. Everybody's rah, rah, rah. I hate Atlanta. I hate Canada. I hate New York. I hate the Wings. I mean, it's shit. And the next day after the Cup is won, everything's back to normal. And then, of course, baseball comes along. And then football and basketball. It's just like, wow. Get it out of my face. And you're right. You're right, Steve. Silence is one of the most important statements that we can make to people, because silence is consent, Steve. And you're absolutely spot on in that comment. It's
See how far we've fallen, Barry, I like to think of George Carlin back in 1978. George Carlin in 78, George, he's the best comedian ever on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. It was in 1978 when George came out with the 7 words you can't say on TV. Do you remember that?
Yep, I remember
that. There was the F-bomb, the S-bomb, I can't say all the words, the MF, all of those really bad words. There were 7 words you can't say on TV, and now look at it. It's 40 years later. Those 7 words are everywhere on TV. The words that the government is saying you can't use anymore is mother and father. That's how far we've fallen.
Exactly.
You don't have to say anymore. Just look at that. That's 40 years, 4 decades, where 7 words were not allowed to say on TV, right? And now those words, every rapper has them in their songs, right? They're on television shows. They're used in violence and all of this stuff. That was 40 years ago. And now they're coming out and saying you need new pronouns for these gender-specific people, right? And you can't use the word mother and father or parent anymore. Like, it's just gone so insane.
Totally upside down, Jürgen.
Yep. But I like to use that, because if you use that 4 decades where those 7 words were not allowed to be said and now they're everywhere, right? That's how far we've fallen morally. Our moral compass has taken a nosedive.
Well, yeah, now we got, isn't this great? We got 72 different sexual oriented genders.
Oh, yeah.
And we can go to jail in Canada now if we don't address him and her and her proper pronoun. We can go to jail. And now we've got M103 coming through, absolutely barbaric blasphemy law introduced by Iraq, whatever her name is. I can't pronounce. I have a hard time with their names.
Ikra Khalid, the one who named the park in Winnipeg after the Pakistani leader.
Thanks. And not Terry Fox. I have a hard time drawing those names up out of my brain, so thanks, Jürgen.
I know.
But then you look at you look at our Canadian Parliament now and how many extreme Muslims are involved in Parliament.
Muslim Brotherhood is running the country right now.
Yeah, they're all directly tied to the Muslim Brotherhood or CARE or Hamas. They have direct ties to radical organizations.
Yep.
And they're the people pulling the strings now in our country. Yep. Why did this happen, man? Why did we allow this to happen?
Where's
the national referendum on all these major changes in our society? Well, of course, that doesn't exist. So I hope the next national party that rises in Canada, because there's going to be one that rises, puts that as part of the referendum, that we can call a national vote of non-confidence anytime we want if our elected officials do not act in ways that are appropriate or beneficial to the Canadian people. That we should be able to charge Justin Trudeau right now with treason. Why he isn't being brought into a court of law and charged for treason, Jürgen, is beyond my realm of understanding. He is blatantly.
Where's the feminist too on his groping? Well, where's the feminist?
But come on, guys, this guy is allowing ISIS fighters to return to Canada. Tries to tell the Canadian public that we're going to reintegrate these people into Western society. They'll never assimilate to Western society.
No.
And the fact that he's allowing these people to walk free on Canadian streets and Canadians are dying for it is treason.
Yeah.
Treason. So why is he not in a court of law, Jürgen?
Yeah.
Where are the Canadians with balls? Excuse my language.
Yeah. No, I fear we're in an age where the balls thing is irrelevant because most males have been neutered. We pussified an entire generation of men in this country. The whole toxic masculinity thing is all over the place in universities, right? And we've got to have crying rooms for all those poor university students before an exam. And, oh my God. The pussification of West has happened in correlation with the strengthening of the Middle East. As they teach their young kids how to use Kalashnikovs and M16s, we're teaching our kids how to make sure they're gender neutral.
Well, there's nothing to see in New Mexico in that base that they discovered where they're teaching children to shoot children. And then, of course, they went to court and the prosecutors didn't file the charges at the time and they were dismissed and the site was bulldozed. Nothing to see here, folks. Oh, and the guy that running it had connections to the gentleman that wasn't charged but was very, very much involved in the tower bombings in 2001.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here, folks. No
nothing here, no.
No.
No, it's, nothing here. And at the same time,
the scary thing, Jerry, I'll let you talk. Just let me add one more thought. If you don't think there's multiple of these camps being set up in Canada, in the United States right now, under the protection of the government, because it's all part of the agenda, then you have your head in the sand. And when the button gets pushed, watch what happens, Jürgen.
I've seen a lot of reports in the last little while, Barry, where the indigenous people of this country are aiding and abetting the Muslims in exchange for weapons. They're getting money. And they're using they're allowing the Muslims to use their reservations as these training camps in exchange for money. Mm.
Okay. I actually haven't seen anything on that, Jürgen. So
I've seen two or three stories on it. I've seen two or three stories already, Barry, on that. Okay. Here's another thing I want to bring to you people, and this I've seen now four or five times. Pierre Trudeau, back in the October crisis, in the FLQ crisis, Pierre Laporte was murdered during that crisis, if you remember. Right. I think it was 69 or 70 where he was murdered, okay?
Right.
Up until the time that he was murdered, the FLQ had only blown up mailboxes. But I've heard reports now that Pierre Laporte was murdered because he was going to out Pierre Trudeau as a pedophile.
Huh.
So it adds another little twist to the whole FLQ drama that took place in this country that changed our political landscape forever, right? With the whole notion of Vive le Québec Libre, Charles de Gaulle coming into Quebec, Vive le Québec Libre, Quebec wants to separate after that. All the noise started after Charles de Gaulle made that statement. Right. And then in the FLQ crisis, it was a great way for Trudeau to hide what he was truly doing.
Well, of course, anytime they get in trouble, they pull a diversion.
Yeah, exactly.
Look what was happening in the United States of America just prior to 9/11. Yep. All kinds of stuff was coming out. So what did they do? They pulled the trigger, man. And everybody had their American flags on their porch and were going, yeah, let's go get those bad guys.
It was the day before 9/11 that Cheney said they had lost $2.3 trillion.
Oh, and the missile that hit the Pentagon actually just happened to hit that office. Did a 180-degree cork spin turn, came in at a degree that no commercial airline, no photograph, and penetrated three levels of the Pentagon and took that office right out. Sorry, folks. Yeah. We lost those records. Oh, my God.
And you no plane parts.
Yeah, and no plane parts. 8 by 10. Oh, what was the hole? 12 by 14 feet was the exact
dimension.
Yeah. So an airplane folded up and went through the Pentagon. No engine marks anywhere. No debris. No nothing. No photograph. And people are still buying this crap. They should be hanging the people that are. But you know what? If you tell a lie enough times, people are going to believe it. And the fact that America is still living with 9/11, the fact that it is the biggest lie ever told in the human race, just says something about the state of our society.
Yeah, for sure it does. It's very sad. How did that building go down? I mean, you'd look at two planes going into the two towers, and then that other building collapses with nothing in it.
You know, Jürgen, 9/11 is something I've probably got, not without being exaggerating, probably 200 hours of research over the last 10 years on 9/11. So there isn't an activity or an event that went on that day that I haven't studied how it all tied together, and everything that went on that day, I kind of really have a good understanding about. I'm not an expert, but I did interview Richard Gage a couple of years ago on a show, and I communicate with him all the time. And, you know, the fact that this lie has still been perpetrated, the people responsible haven't been hung. It does say something about the power of mind control, how our society has been dumbed down to a point that people literally cannot see the trees for the forest. I hope that we haven't gone past the point that people can wake up. Some days I ask myself if we ever are going to wake up, but then this little experiment I did in the last couple of days with this T-shirt really reaffirmed my faith that people do really want to get involved, and they're starting to become concerned. And all we can do is keep talking to people and spreading the knowledge and sharing the little bit of knowledge that we have.
Well, that's all that we can do, Barry. And, you know, I want to go to my grave knowing that I gave out as much as possible of the information that I've accumulated my whole lifetime to my kids and my grandkids, and make sure that they understand where the world was and where it's heading, and where we are right now and how we got to this place. We got to this place through apathy and people just voting for a face, not voting for policies, not voting for the right things. You know, we've come to this paradigm where the left would have everyone believe that anyone on the right hates clean water, they hate clean air, they hate everything. I mean, we're all the same. And these politicians have divided us into these parties of blue and red and all of this. You're separated through sex, through size, through age, through gender, all of it. That has to stop.
It is. It's insane. You know what, Jürgen, any time in history you've destroyed the family unit in a society, that society falls apart.
Yeah,
exactly. And if you look at everything that's going on in our society, to our children, to our families, it is an orchestrated attack to destroy the family unit, to corrupt the souls of the most innocent people in the world, turn them into clones, fill them full of vaccines, give them GMO foods to eat, fill the skies full of nanoparticles of aluminum, beryllium, strontium, and whatever else they're spraying in the skies, and then put them into a core education program in school, have homosexuals come in and give them lessons in grade 1 or 2.
Drag queens, identity. Yeah.
This kind of stuff absolutely drives me insane. It really is up to people, parents, to get back the control, to go to school board meetings, to get into the faces of these people that are perpetrating this agenda, because it's such a small percentage of the population that is perpetrating this agenda. But they know the loopholes, they know how to get around just about every possible backlog against what they're trying to bring into our society. So it's up to us to really stand up against it, man, and get involved, guys.
Barry,
time's getting short, Jürgen.
Back in Ontario, I tried to let people know that Kathleen Wynne, just before she left office, she changed the entire Family Services Act. She took out any reference to Christianity in the Family Services Act and replaced it with gender identity.
Yeah.
Totally changing the entire purpose of the Family Services Act to protect children. She took it right out of the entire Family Services Act. I tried to make people aware of that, and people are going, oh, no, she's doing the best for, she understands children. And I cannot believe how many people supported that. They supported the sex ed when it was written by a convicted pedophile, Benjamin Levin. Like, honest to God. And I still have people protecting that freaking program. They're saying, oh, you're just old school. Our kids need protection. Honest to God, protection from those people is what they need.
Yeah, let's just teach them in grade 8 or grade 3 about anal sex.
Yeah.
And then let's legalize bestiality in Canada.
That's important. I
mean, it's just our country has gone so far down the tube. But you know what, Jürgen? I honestly, in my heart, I don't think it's beyond the point of no return. But it's going to take people willing to get involved and possibly lay down their freedoms and their lives right now. Yeah. Is that sound ridiculous? No.
No, it doesn't.
You know, freedom has a price, man, and we're right now on the verge of losing it. And when it does, people are going to grind their teeth. They're going to curse themselves. But, you know, it's going to be too late at that point. But we still have a window of opportunity right now because there is more of us than them. It's just getting people to get involved. And I don't know what else to say to people, but it's our duty. It's our obligation. It's our obligation. It's our duty. We don't have a choice. Yes. It's our duty.
Absolutely.
How else can we say that to people?
People keep crying for their rights. They keep crying for their what's entitled to them. When they don't understand, they also have a responsibility that goes with those rights. Your responsibility is to know who the hell you're voting for. Not just vote for a pretty face, not just vote for some ideologue that's going to promise you bullshit stuff, because nothing is free. And as soon as you start to realize that nothing is free, then maybe we can turn this damn thing around. But as long as there's people out there thinking that a politician can promise them free healthcare, free tuition, free this, free housing, free that, you're going to have those takers, and they're going to take from the makers every day.
Exactly. And henceforth, we have the results of entitlements.
That's
and
right.
How that's working in our society and how
I'm
it's
directed
to a communist agenda.
Watch your time, Barry.
I know we're down to about 4 minutes here there, Jürgen, but I honestly feel like right now we could get into another hour because there's so many things that I didn't touch on here. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I know that you were on a radio station and you're off a little bit, but maybe we can find another platform where you can get your voice heard.
All right, that'd
really
be great.
I really enjoy talking to you, and, you know, it's good to talk to an old-stock Canadian that really sees it and understands what's going on and is crying at the top of their voices for people to listen to us and to please make these changes before the window closes, because when the window closes, folks, it's going to be a world that we do not want to be living
That's right. Here. No, we don't. Just look at Venezuela right now, folks.
Look at Venezuela, exactly.
An Just example. Look at it.
Well, before I close, 1 minute. I had the opportunity to talk to 4 Germans yesterday in a coffee shop, and I got that opportunity to talk because of my T-shirt. The one German put his thumb up and said, yeah, and immediately got into a conversation, talked about Merkel. And you know what? They told me they're living in a small town in northern Germany now, and they're scared to have their kids walk the street at night. That's how far Germany, folks, is on the verge of civil war. And if you think I'm joking, I am not, because this came right from the mouth of a 24-year-old German man that is seeing it unfold in his country. So it's coming here if we don't stop the flow. Go ahead,
Jürgen. Right, Barry, and real quick, I live in Canada, and yet I know 2 German girls who have been raped by Muslim migrants. Okay?
That's what's coming, folks. And female genital mutilation, all these great things are coming to your children.
They're all
you
coming.
You think it's a joke. It's not a joke, folks. It's not a joke. And, I don't know what else to say to people today, Jürgen.
You're not a bigot for bringing it up, Barry. You're not a bigot.
I'm not a bigot. I love people, Jürgen.
That's right.
But I hate seeing what's going on right now. So all that being said, thanks again for joining me today. Thanks for people who have taken time out of their day to tune in and listen to what we have to say. And
thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. And we'll do this again in the very near future, Jürgen. It's been
a
pleasure.
Likewise, Barry. Take care, my friend.
Okay, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. I do have a couple of really good people coming in next week. And like I said, on the 20th of September here, I'm going to be interviewing Max Bernier. And I'm going to get to the bottom of his involvement in the Privy Council and what that exactly means, because he is rocking the political boat. And that is the one thing right now that I would really like to put to Maxime Bernier. So turn in and see what he has to say about that. Thanks again. for tuning in, and I'll be back next week, same time, place, same place, and God bless you all. Thanks to Steve Roberts and People's Internet Radio for providing this platform to share my thoughts. You guys all have a great week. I love you all, and God bless you. Bye for now.